This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're here on Joy 94.9, listening to Sunday Arts Magazine. Now, next in the studio, we have Shane Grant, Artistic Director from the Metanoa Theatre. Welcome, Shane. How are you going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
So we always like to start off with who you are, but let's talk about your theatre group that you're involved with, because we've spoken about it before, but not everyone's listening every time. So give us a bit of a breakdown.
Sure, we're Metanoa Theatre, and we've been running the Brunswick Mechanics Institute on behalf of the Moreland City Council for 4 years. We've been programming the works that come through it, as well as supporting experimental and hybrid artists through our live works program.
Yep. Which must be really good, because for a little theatre group like yourselves, and who do pretty out there stuff.
Yep.
It must be good to have a home and the stability of knowing that, you know, like a bit of money is coming in, I suppose.
Yeah, indeed. That's been fantastic. And it's been great to have the spaces. That's often one of the major costs when you're developing theatre works, is affording the rent of the theatre.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, what was the show you did last year? Because it's always... it's not just a theatre piece so much. It's an experience.
Yeah, last year we did a show called Milk Bars.
Now, what was that?
Well, it was a venue-wide experience where we collaborated with a number of artists to...
And you created the old corner shop Milk Bar, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we found one that was closing down in Parkville and got all the fittings from there.
Awesome.
So we had a very authentic Milk Bar.
Fantastic. Yeah. And you could buy lollies, little bags of lollies. And it came at a time where, over the last few years, I've been talking that, you know, like the death of that wonderful Melbourne institution, a Milk Bar, where, you know, they're just gone now. All you get in the local ones now is cigarettes and potato chips and soft drinks, you know, like there's not that lovely little counter of lollies and other bits and pieces, is
yeah,
there?
Certainly. It's a disappearing world.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was such a clever idea and concept. So give us a bit of a background on who you are.
I've worked in theatre since I was 18.
Wow.
And
was only about 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's just say some time. I've mostly been a lighting designer for theatre.
Which
and
is
dance.
Perfect for what you're doing here, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, with the company Metanoia, I'm the technical brains of the outfit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have every aspect, don't you?
Yeah, that's right, indeed. Yeah, Greg and Gurkham are both theatre directors.
Yep.
And Greg's particularly a performer as well.
Yeah, and you know, like, why did you get, you know, like, involved in the lighting side of it? Because it is such an important part, but a lot of people, you know, like, just fall into it. Or did you, you know, like, sort of say, that's what I want to do, I want to go down that path?
It was a very deliberate choice as a young person I just wanted to work in theatre. And I didn't want to have a part-time job being a waiter, so I thought it was a very clear way that I could be employed in theatres all the time.
Yeah, and you would have seen major changes in that whole world in recent times. It's just, you know, lighting plays such an important part now, doesn't it?
Yeah, certainly, and with technologies these days you can achieve a lot more than we could in the old days with bits of coloured plastic and...
Torches and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Because now a lot of the different theatre companies use lighting instead of sets.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, and that's a great thing. That's kind of, I think, developed out of the dance world, where lighting is the kind of physical element in the room often.
Yeah. Yep. And what do you think is one of the most important things that has happened? You know, like the shift, the way the lighting has gone, but the technology, and, you know, like, it's all computerized. Yes. And are you comfortable with that change? Because I suppose it would have just naturally happened for you.
Yeah, the computerisation has come. I think the major changes are now with LED lights and the colour palette that you can pick, and having one unit to take the place of what might have been five or six different lanterns in an older setup.
Yep. And how have you found directors, like the old school directors, are they catching on to the modern technology and happy to move with it, or do they still want some of the looks that were then?
Well, I think you have to carefully manage how you integrate conventional lights with, say, LED lights, because they still they don't have a great fade time, so you need something to cover up that moment when they blink out. But there's ways to do it and ways to... I enjoy talking to directors and, unfolding what we're going to do and what we're going to look at.
And the cost of it, has it become quite expensive, the lighting rigs now?
I think it's pretty similar to
what it was.
Okay. Yeah, the costs are always rising with hire, but, the more they penetrate the market, the cheaper they become.
Right, okay. So let's talk about, now this is your last one at the Mechanics Institute, because you've been managing the establishment.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we're handing over on the 30th of June to the Next Wave Festival. We'll be continuing to manage the venues.
Right, so okay.
It's not going anywhere as a theatre. It's just changing management.
Right, okay. So what is it that you're doing? I love the imagery to begin with. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, this time I'm writing, and it's an adaptation of George Arnaud's novel The Wages of Fear from 1950. Yeah.
And what you've obviously done a very modern twist on it.
No, actually, we're taking it in the world of the novel of the 1950s.
But the look of it, though.
This is our publicity. It's a theatre piece, so it can't be. You have to use your imagination,
right.
Suspend disbelief a little bit. But we're leaving it in that world, because when I looked at the novel, it was quite different to the film that many people are aware of from 1953.
Right, okay.
It's a very famous black and white French film.
Yep.
And it's about two guys who have to drive a truck full of nitroglycerin up a mountain to put out an oil well fire. It's, yeah, tension all the way.
Wow. Yeah. So how do you capture that? Probably because of all your amazing lighting within a play.
I'm not lighting this production. My friend Nicholas Pajanti is doing it.
Right, because you're directing.
I'm writing.
You've written it,
Gherkin's directing, and it's starring Greg Alphen as well. So the three cornerstones of our company together in
Big Red. Oh, so your farewell, you're doing it all together. How lovely.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And what is it about this story that you found interesting, mm-hmm. And the writing of it as well?
Sure. Well, I think essentially it's a very allegorical tale, so it has a bit of a political resonance there for our times, when you're talking about wages and conditions being cut and people making choices that are more based on rewards than necessarily their own personal safety.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Why do you think this is going to work now, because of how it's linked to what's happening in the world right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's some fairly easy connections that can be made. And if you look at the slowdown in Australia's mining sector and people in FIFO towns who might be stuck there with no way out, that's very much the world of this play, is a small town in South America where nobody can leave. There's no opportunity. They used to be employed by the oil company, but the oil company is bought on a pipeline. So all the truck drivers who used to drive the oil down the mountain are stuck in town without jobs. Yeah.
Gosh, not a very joyous topic.
No. It's very French existentialist in its
right.
background.
And the sheer fact that you've got such a great reputation and a strong following that you'll have an audience, won't you?
Yeah, definitely. We're looking to go out with a bang.
boom. You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine. And we've just got another renewal of membership.
Awesome.
It's Mary from Brunswick.
Thank you, Mary.
Individual membership. So thank you. You're going to the draw for Holden Astro.
Hey, good on
there
you.
There you go. Thank you. Now, in the studio, we've got Shane Grant talking to us about the show he's written, actually, Wages of Fear, the Mechanics Institute. So, Shane, you were just talking to us earlier about the actual show itself and how this is the last one for the Mechanics Institute?
For Metanoia Theatre at the Mechanics Institute.
That's right, yeah. Yes.
And now, tell us about the cast. It's about two men driving this truck up the hill, but there's more than two people in the show.
Yeah, that's right. There's seven performers in the cast to build out the world and the reasons why, but the focus is the two central characters and their trials on the road.
Right. Mm. And do you use a lot of the same actors?
Yeah, we do. We just finished a production called The Omission of the Family Coleman. So there's a couple of actors from that who's come across into this cast and also other actors that we've worked with in the past. We've got a great, strong cast with Anne Jarabatsis, Greg Orphan, who's a director at Metanoia, Adam Matigliano, and Katrina Gassate, Fotis Katatopoulos.
Oh, God, some good names there.
Yeah, Melina
good Australian Wayne, names. Yeah.
And Brian Davidson.
Actually, very Melbourne names when you think about it, aren't they?
Yeah, indeed. Well, we've always been very culturally diverse as a company, and we believe in reflecting the people that you see on the street, on the stage.
Brilliant. So what do you hope people are going to take away from this? Is there one message that you really feel that you want to get out?
Well, I think there's a question that it asks that is, what would it take for you to do a job like this? I've discussed it with some of my friends in the development and in the play, because it's the 1950s, they're offered $1,000, which seems a very small amount these days.
Austin Powers, $1,000.
Yes, that does translate to about $10,000 in today's money.
Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine said he'd do it for 50.
All right, so he wouldn't do it for less than 50. It is one of those things where you think, fast buck, but I could be dead.
Yeah, that's right. Everything's on the line.
It's one of those quandaries, isn't it, where and a lot of people just think, yeah, well, I'm invincible, and especially if reasonably young, you think, nothing's going to happen to me. But as the older you get, you would, question.
Yeah, certainly. And that's certainly something that the play investigates with the fear involved in doing it and whether you're a tough guy and whether it's worth being the tough guy at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you're like, for other people to see that, I'm tough, that I'm going to do it, would be probably one of the, I'm really between the lines here, I've got no idea. So, and you can't give the plot away, so don't answer that one, don't answer. Yeah, just, I agree.
Just not along the right track.
It sounds really quite fascinating considering the subject matter, especially now that you've put it in that context.
Yeah, well, it's tension all the way, and we've got a full-size truck on the stage.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Sounds really good. So when, where, how?
Well, we're opening on the 20th of this month, which is Tuesday night, and we're running till the 29th, which is a Thursday night, because we hand over the theatre on the Friday.
Oh, wow. And congratulations for doing a great job on managing the theatre. And also, as I said at the beginning, as the stuff you do is always, like this one here sounds fair. First off, two guys driving a truck up a hill. Not very interesting. But, it is. Sounds like a wonderful story. And obviously, the outcome is going to be quite interesting as well.
Yes,
especially when it blows up. No, I'm making that up. I'm making
don't listen to him.
Shane, thank you so much for coming in, and can't wait to have you back on your theatre group, because we always love everything you do.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.